Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Om Shivaya Paramahansa. Hari Vajrachari. Ashtatara Sati Sri Sri Bhai. Sadanga Sesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada. Jaya Mishnupad Paramahansa. Hari Vajrachari. Ashtatara Sati Sri Sri Bhai. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj. Jaya Mishnupad Paramahansa. Hari Vajrachari. Ashtatara Sati Sri Sri Bhai. Gorkishore Das Babaji Maharaj. Jaya Mishnupad Paramahansa. Hari Vajrachari. Ashtatara Sati Sri Sri Bhai. Chachidananda Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur Ananta Kodi Vaishnav Rindaki Namchaya Shri Haridas Thakur Prems of Prabhu Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivasa Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopinath Shamukunda Radhakund Giri Govardhan Shri Vrindavandhan Adugadam Navadvip Mayapradhan Ganath Puri Nam, Ganga Jumunamai Ki, Bhakti Devi Ki, Tulsi Maharani Ki, Iskandu Vijitandra Shai, save the whole world, Shri Prabhupada Ki, Worldwide Iskandu Ki, Goloka Prem Dan, Harinam San Kirtan Yakya Ki, Hare Krishna Mahamantra Ki, Gaur Premanande, all glory to the assembled devotees. All glory to the Son of the devotees. All glory to the Son of the devotees. Glory to the Shri Guru and Shri Paranga Ji. Time we were with Srila Prabhupada in we were in Detroit, and Prabhupada had just arrived at the temple, and he was he came downstairs, and Bhagavan's boy Vaishnava was about, I think, three, or maybe even less, two and a half or something. And he was like that. He hadn't cut his hair yet. He had a top knot. Looked really cool. And Vaishnava, who is playing the kartals, just like, he was in perfect time with it. Couldn't have been better. Actually, he really made the kirtan. I asked you if you could play kartals, you said yes. And then I asked you if you could play mridanga, you said yes. I asked you if you could play harmonium, you said yes. Can you also lead, sing?
Yes.
How about, you want to give a class? No. So, then Prabhupada, he was... His mother, Krishna Bhamini, was holding the boy, and he was like this, you know. And Prabhupada came by, and he looked, and he went, oh. And then the little boy, you know, and the mother, you know, my little ray of Vishnu. And Prabhupada was very impressed. And so Prabhupada sat on the Vyasasana, and then he was going to give an arrival address, and like an arrival address, then Prabhupada just looked at Vaishnava. He said, this is only because he has performed devotional service in a previous birth. He said, otherwise, how is he knowing at such a young age how to play the kartals like this? And then Prabhupada lectured from that verse in Bhagavad Gita that the fallen yogi, Prabhupada explained that the yogi who falls down from the path of devotional service or whatever yoga, then he goes to the higher planets where he can fulfill his material desires, because there's full facility on the heavenly planets for fulfilling your material desires. There's no obstacles like here. here is happiness and distress, heat and cold, black and white, up and down, backwards, forwards. But in the heavenly planets, it's pretty easy. If this is what you want to fulfill your material desires. And after those desires are satiated, after they're fulfilled, and one realizes it was pretty much of a waste of time, all the 100,000 years that one spent up there, then one comes back down to the earth planet, and he takes birth in a family of wealthy merchants, where again one doesn't have to struggle for the basic necessities of life, but one can very easily begin to take off from where he left off when he deviated in a previous birth. Or he's born into a family of brahmanas. That is the fate of the yogi who deviates, who gives up the path of transcendence and becomes a sense gratifier again. Nothing's lost. Whatever progress one had made on that path, one retains that. He goes to the heavenly planets, enjoys for a while, gets it all out of his system. It's like sometimes in our movement we see devotees, the material desires are so strong that they cannot resist, so they give up the path of strict adherence to the rules and regulations of devotional service, and they may go away. And very often we see they come back. I recently had the opportunity to meet two very dear godbrothers, perhaps it's not appropriate to mention their name, big, big leaders in the movement. They've been gone about 10, 15 years. God knows what they went through. But when I met them, they were inquiring how they could come back in and take up devotional service, take up the mission of Śrīla Prabhupāda. It's very nice. So like that, the yogi, he goes to the heavenly planets and just full sense gratification. And then ultimately one has to come to the conclusion it's all futile. Goes back down. But Prabhupāda said that devotee, that yogi, the bhakti yogi, who never deviates but doesn't become fully Krishna conscious in this lifetime, what happens to him? He's born into a family of devotees. He doesn't deviate, but maybe, 60 or 70 years is not enough to come to the platform of, Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sundurlabha, full surrender to the Supreme Personality of God. He may not be qualified. He has not awoken his prem, his love of God, which is the premanjani charati bhakti valochanena, Prabhupada said. This is the qualification for going back home, back to Godhead, like these gopis in this beautiful picture here. And one's eyes are covered only with the salve of love for Krishna. There's no other desires. Anatta nivritti syat. All those nasty desires, lust, anger, greed, fully gone. And then one becomes steady, one develops some attachment, and then bhava, and then prema. This is the qualification for going back to the spiritual world. But maybe one is very sincere, but he hasn't got to that point. So what happens to him? Immediately, he's born into a family of devotees. He doesn't have to go to the heavenly planets. Actually, for a devotee, the heavenly planets is, a sincere devotee, the heavenly planets is something quite horrific. He sees it actually like hell. Because in the heavenly planets, there's so much sense gratification that one forgets the process of devotional service. He just becomes immersed in all these celestial delights, and he completely forgets about devotional service. So for a devotee, that's equal to going to the hellish planets, where one is working so hard that he is suffering so much that he forgets God. So a devotee's only prayer is that he can always be engaged in devotional service, even if it means coming back. Nadanam na janam na sundarim kabicham va jagadisha kamae mama janmani janmani ishara bhavatad bhakti ahitakitwe. I have no desire for wealth. I have no desire to enjoy the opposite sex. I have no desire for fame or name, reputation. All that I want is that I might have your devotional service, even if it means birth after birth. So a boy like this who can sit so peacefully and listen to the lecture at 3 years old and play the mridanga in time and play the kartals in time, then there's no doubt that this boy has just come into this family directly from another situation. Look how grave he is. He has qualities that we admire. Don't get puffed up. Look at our kids, they know you're talking about exactly what to do. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda So we have opened up to Ancha Lila chapter 12. We can start verse 62. These must be the Lord's pastimes in Puri. Yeah. Adi Lila means the Lord's pastimes, generally before he took sannyas, his childhood pastimes. Madhya Lila, from the time Mahaprabhu took to the renounced order sannyas, at around 25 years of age. His touring South India, his preaching, delivering to people of Dravidadesh, his visiting Vrindavan, instructing Rupa Sanatan Goswami, etc. And Ancha Lila is mainly the Lord's pastimes when he retires to Jagannath Puri for his own internal reasons. As we know, Mahaprabhu appeared in this world for two reasons. One, his appearance coincided with the time for introducing the Yuga Dharma of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare. Actually, Krishna was thinking that his work in Dwapara Yuga had more or less been unfinished. Because although he had enjoyed the his pastimes in Sri Vrindavan Dham with his eternal associates, who mainly came from the spiritual sky, and some of them were also demigods, and some were those devotees who were had come to the platform through Sadhan Bhakti of being qualified to enter into Krishna's Leela. He enjoyed his pastimes with them. When he got back to the spiritual sky, according to Kaviraj Goswami, the Lord was considering that although he had relished his pastimes with his devotees, he had left the world bereft of devotional service, meaning that he had not spread, he had not given the opportunity for the conditioned souls to enter into those pastimes. So he wanted to come back to this world 4,500 years later and flood the world with Krishna Prema to give the opportunity even for the fallen conditioned souls to enter into those very rare and special Vrajlila pastimes. So that was one reason that Mahaprabhu appeared in this world. The other was his internal reasons. As we know, Krishna could not fully fathom the loving sentiments of Srimati Radharani, Bhava, her love for him. So, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radhe Krishna Yanga. Originally, the Lord was one, but to enjoy transcendental pastimes, he manifested the Dini Shakti, Srimati Radharani, and the two of them are the absolute truth when they enjoy their pastimes. But again, the two have become one in the personality of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Adi Lila and Madhya Lila are fulfilling the external reason for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearing to deliver the Yuga Dharma of the holy names of the Lord. And Ancha Lila is mainly Mahaprabhu experiencing the sentiments of Radharani for Krishna. So because it is very esoteric, the Lord more or less isolated himself in Jagannath Puri, more specifically in Gambira temple, and he surrounded himself by his eternal associates, Lalita, Vishakha, Subramanya Goswami, Ramananda Roy, these different devotees who appeared, and they assisted him in those pastimes. And as Gaura Govinda Maharaj has nicely written, Vipurlamba Dham, it is the crying Dham. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is laughing and dancing throughout India, but when he goes to Jagannath Puri, it is only crying in separation from Krishna. So now we are there on Jalila chapter 12. We're in the Vipurlamba Dham, the weeping Dham, the Dham of separation from Krishna. We can start at verse 61. All the devotees engaged in cleansing ceremony of the Gundicha temple and danced in front of the Rathayatra chariot, just as they had done in the past. For four consecutive months, the devotees observed all the festivals. The wives, such as Malini, extended invitations for lunch to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. From Bengal, the devotees had brought varieties of Bengali food that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu liked. They also cooked various grains and vegetables in their homes and offered them to the Lord. This is significant. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he liked the Bengali food. He liked Bengali food. He was born in Bengal. And but we shouldn't think this is some sectarian concept that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu identified with a particular time, place, and circumstance. Actually, the food, this Bengali food or this Brajabasi food that we take, this is the food of the eternal residents of Vrindavan. This is what they're eating. So it's not that by cooking these foods we are imbibing some local culture or some foreign culture. This is the eternal culture of Krishna consciousness. And as far as possible, we should try to maintain that culture. We shouldn't compromise. One time Prabhupada said, don't let our Krishna conscious movement become like Christianity. So what did he mean? Don't let it become like Christianity. So much compromise. Down to the ages, they've compromised. So Prabhupada wanted us to maintain this eternal tradition of the spiritual world. And therefore we can have pizzas sometimes. Sometimes we can have pizzas. I mean, I think Prabhupada, he had ice cream one time. And I think he had popcorn. And I think when he had indigestion in the West, he would ask for a 7-Up. But this doesn't mean that we open the floodgates and we replace rice, dal, chapatis, and ras malai, and sandesh, and burfi, and kofta, and sweet and sour subjects with, you know, pizzas and soya hamburgers, hot dogs, and things like this. I was recently in Vrindavan. I went to one restaurant, and I asked for the menu. I asked, what was the menu today? Oh, Maharaj's menu is chocolate ice cream and French fries and pizzas. So that was the last time I went to the restaurant. We should take pride in our culture, the way we dress, the language that we use, the foods that we eat, the etiquette that we have amongst ourselves, and we should try to maintain it because this is the etiquette of the spiritual world. Sadhan bhakti means devotional service and practice. So we're practicing to go back home, back to Godhead. So in the spiritual world, what do the boys eat with Krishna? Rice, dal, laglus, ladu. You read about it in the poetry of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So as far as possible, we should stick to those transcendental preparations. They're satisfying to the soul. So Mahaprabhu, he liked the Bengali food, which means that he preferred the food of the spiritual world. During the day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu engaged in various activities with his devotees, but at night, he felt great separation from Krishna and he used to cry. In this way, the Lord spent the 4 months of the rainy season in various pastimes, and then he ordered the Bengali devotees to return to their homes. All the devotees from Bengal would regularly invite Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for lunch, and the Lord would speak to them in very sweet words. All of you come to see me every year, the Lord said. To come here and then return must certainly give you great trouble. I would like to forbid you to do this, but I enjoy your company so much that my desire for your association only increases. I was telling Komodaki and Tirupati this morning that Srila Prabhupada, actually there was the 25th anniversary of the opening of the Krishna Balaram Mandir at Ram Nomi this year, and I was fortunate enough to be in Vrindavan. And they printed a souvenir book, and there were different quotes from Srila Prabhupada about his opening the temple and just about Vrindavan in general. And there was one quote there where Srila Prabhupada said that he would like his disciples to come to Vrindavan 3 or 4 times a year. And like Mahaprabhu said, it's great trouble to come that far, and it's very expensive as well. But I read it in black and white. 3 to 4 times a year we should go to Vrindavan. He said, if that is not possible, Prabhupada said, at least once a year we should come to Vrindavan. And then another quote, Prabhupada said, if it's possible, he would like some of the members of ISKCON, he said, some of his disciples, to come live permanently in Sri Vrindavan Dham. I was thinking, this is very amazing. But and then I read another quote, Prabhupada said, the leaders of this movement, well, at that time it was the sannyasis and the GBC, he said, the sannyasis and the GBC men, they should spend 6 months preaching in the West and 6 months doing bhajan in Vrindavan. And my god sister Devi Shakti, she asked Srila Prabhupada if we could open a temple out at Radhakund. Radhakund is a very deep, very mysterious, esoteric place. So Prabhupada said, yes, that would be very nice. Let ISKCON open a temple at Radhakund. We can install Krishna Balaram deities. And then Devi Shakti said, yes, and we can preach all over Radhakund. Prabhupada said, no, we won't preach Radhakund. Radhakund is for bhajan. Bhajan. So every year my godmother Satchinandan Swami, he spends 1 month or 2 months out at Radhakund at Nitai Chand Maharaj's little ashram there, just doing bhajan. So why? Because we can't preach what we don't know. We can't give people what we don't have. So as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we want to give people Krishna consciousness. We want to give them Krishna prema. So therefore, we owe it to ourselves to go as deeply as possible into our sadhana, into our bhajana, because in Western countries, we have our little program in the morning and we're spending most of our day preaching. But going to India, Vrindavan, Mayapur means spending most of the day in bhajan, most of the day shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu shmaranam, padasevanam, archanam, bandham, dasyam, sakyama. Going very deep into Krishna consciousness. And then being more qualified to come back and preach devotional service. So this is Mahaprabhu's instruction as well. Every year he wanted to associate intimately with his devotees in Jagannath Puri. I ordered Sri Nityananda Prabhu not to leave Bengal, but he has transgressed my order and come to see me. What can I say? Out of his causeless mercy upon me, Dvaitacharya has also come here. I am indebted to him for his affectionate behavior. This debt is impossible for me to liquidate. All my devotees come here just for me. Leaving aside their homes and families, they travel by very difficult paths to come here in great haste. There is no fatigue or trouble for me, for I stay here at Neelachala Jagannath Puri and do not move at all. This is the favor of all of you. I am a mendicant and I have no money. How can I clear my debt for the favor you have shown me? I have only this body, and therefore I surrender it unto you. Now, if you wish, you may sell it anywhere you like. It is your property. When all the devotees heard these sweet words of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, their hearts melted, and they began to shed incessant tears. Catching hold of his devotees, the Lord embraced them all and began to cry and cry. Unable to leave, everyone remained there, and 5 to 7 more days thus passed by. Rupa Goswami has written, because these are the sentiments of the Lord for his devotees, and these sentiments of the devotees for the Lord. the devotees are feeling great attachment to Krishna, and Krishna is feeling great attachment to them, and they're, here we see Mahaprabhu is actually embracing his devotees, and they're crying tears together, but more intense tears will be shed when they separate. So this is the stage we want to come to in Krishna consciousness. O Govinda, feeling your separation, I'm considering a moment to be like 12 years or more, and tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain. I'm feeling all vacant in the world in your absence. Right now we shed those tears in attachment and separation for this material world. Rupa Goswami has advised us, just as young boys are attracted to young girls, and young girls are attracted to young boys, with the same intensity, my Lord, let me be attached to your lotus feet. So we all have experience of these mundane attachments to family members, to loved ones, boyfriends, girlfriends, whatever the case may be. We have felt the pangs of attachment and the pangs of separation, but that is all misplaced. It is all misplaced. It is meant, those sentiments are meant to be felt in attachment and separation for Krishna. So Rupa Goswami says, just as we are attached to the body and the extensions of the body in this world, with that intensity, let me be attached, Krishna, to your lotus feet. So that gradually we can do that by the process of devotional service, transfer the attachment. Advaita Prabhu and Lord Nityananda Prabhu submitted these words at the lotus feet of the Lord. The entire world is naturally obligated to you for your transcendental attributes. Yet you bind your devotees again and again by your sweet words. Under these circumstances, who can go elsewhere? Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu peacefully calmed them all and bade each of them farewell. The Lord specifically advised Nityananda Prabhu, you should not come here again and again. You have my association in Bengal. The devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began their journey crying, while the Lord remained morosely at his residence. The Lord bound everyone by his transcendental mercy. Who can repay his debt for the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the fully independent personality of Godhead and makes everyone dance as he likes. Leaving his company, therefore, all the devotees return to their homes in different parts of the country. As a wooden doll dances to the will of a puppeteer, everything is accomplished by the will of the Lord. Who can understand the characteristics of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? The previous year, Jagadananda Pandit, following the Lord's order, had returned to the city of Nadia to see Sachimata. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the devotees would come and they would visit him, and then he would assign them different preaching activities, different missions, because his mission was continuing, although he was in Jagannath Puri. So sometimes he would send his devotees from there to other places to accomplish his different purposes. Here it's mentioned Jagadananda Pandit. Jagadananda Pandit, there's one book called Gaur Gonadesha Deepika by Kavi Kanapura. And in that book it is mentioned who's who, just like in English, there's a book called Who's Who, at least in America there's a book called Who's Who. You can find all, who are the big personalities in music, in politics, in business, etc., etc. Who are the big personality? Who's Who? It's a big fat book like that. So Kavi Kanapura, he compiled a book. He was the son of Sivananda Sen. And through the words of his father and also his own realizations later, they were able to determine of the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who they were in Krishna Lila, by their transcendental vision. Because many of the devotees came from the spiritual sky to participate in Mahaprabhu's pastime. So who's who in the spiritual sky? Who they were in Chaitanya Lila. So in that book, Gaura Gonadesha Deepika, this personality, Jagadananda Pandit, he's mentioned that he was one of the principal wives of Lord Krishna and Dwarka. Incorrect. He was Satyabhama. He was Satyabhama. And Prabhupada mentions that Jagannatha Pandit maintains a similar mood in his relationship with Lord Chaitanya. Prabhupada mentions in the Krishna book that in Dwarka, Krishna acted just like an ordinary henpecked husband. The wives are sometimes henpecking. Henpecking. But in the pastimes of the Lord with his queens in Dwarka, it is all transcendental. It is all to increase the transcendental mellow of that particular relationship. So sometimes Satyabhama, she argues with Krishna in Dwarka. There's some little arguing going on. Then there's some separation. And what is the result? In separation, Krishna feels more attachments for Satyabhama. In separation, Satyabhama feels more attraction to Krishna. So everything, there's no material inebrities in the spiritual. Whatever is happening is completely pure and transcendental. Simply, Ananda Buddhi Bhadavanam, it increases it, the mellows of the transcendental pastimes. So Queen Satyabhama, she's one of the principal queens, she also appeared in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes as the male personality, Jagannatha Pandit. But as we see, when we read Chaitanya Charitamrita, this kind of tension and bickering and arguing and then separation, this was also going on between Jagannatha Pandit. In fact, sometimes Lord Chaitanya would just send Jagannatha Pandit away because he was complaining this and so much fretting and worrying about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu was a sannyasi, and Jagannatha Pandit was always trying to take care of him and arrange so many facilities, and Mahaprabhu just couldn't. I'm a sannyasi, you're acting like my wife or something. So he would sometimes send Jagannatha Pandit away for some time. So one time he sent Jagannatha Pandit to Nadia to appease the feelings of separation of the residents of Navadvipa. Just like the residents of Vrindavan, Krishna spent, well, Jiva Goswami says 11 years, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says 12 years. Anyway, he spent 11 or 12 years in Vrindavan, and then he left, Akura came to get him at 11 or 12, and he went to Mathura to fight the wrestlers and Kamsa, etc. And then from there he went to Dwarka, and he didn't come back, actually. So the residents of Vrindavan were feeling so much separation from Krishna. He spent 12 years, you can imagine, 12 very intense years, the residents of Vrindavan were associating with Krishna, and then he left one day. He promised him to come back in two days, but he never came back. So to appease them, the Lord sent a very special friend of his called Uddhava. Uddhava looked almost exactly like Krishna. Because he was so Krishna conscious, he appeared almost like Krishna. His bodily hue, his features, his lotus eyes. Actually, the only difference was he didn't have the Srivatsa, a curl of hair on his chest. So when he went to Vrindavan, he appeased the residents of Vrindavan by speaking about Krishna's pastimes. At first they thought, maybe it's just Krishna. No, this is not Krishna. The gopis knew every detail about Krishna. So they didn't see the Srivatsa curls. They said, this is not Krishna. So they kind of gathered around him. What are you doing here? And so, actually Krishna had sent him there to witness the exalted love of the residents of Vrindavan, which is superior even to the residents of Dwarka. The love of the residents of Dwarka is perfect. The love of the residents of Mathura is more perfect. But the love of the residents of Vrindavan is most perfect. So Krishna wanted to show Uddhava the most perfect transcendental love of the Braja Vasi, so he sent him there. And also to appease them, to tell them about Krishna's pastimes and so forth. So in the same way, the residents of Navadvipa, little Nimai Pandit, he'd grown up just like to see this little boy. He's so cute, he's so attractive, he can steal everyone's attention away from the kirtan. And imagine Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as a young child, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He captured the hearts of the residents of Navadvipa as a young boy, as a teenager. Up until the moment he took sannyas and he broke their hearts, Krishna. He's so expert at breaking hearts. And he went away. So the Lord sent Jagannatha Pandit back, especially to see Satyamata, because she was just, as they say in Polish, yakiweshed. Yakiweshed means a river of tears. She was crying day and night. And Jagannatha Pandit arrived there, and he had one message from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mata, do you know that every day you are offering me prasadam, and I am personally coming there to take that prasad? Well, Satyamata, she was so surprised. I thought it was a dream only. I am offering the prasadam to Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda's small boys, and I'm thinking it is a dream they are coming and taking that prasadam. I'm thinking I'm going into some stage of dreaming or something. Is it actually true? And Jagannatha Pandit said, yes. Mahaprabhu wanted to inform me that he is personally coming. Whenever you're offering prasadam, he's perfectly coming and sitting and taking that prasadam. It is not a dream. So Mother Sachi was so happy about that. So Jagannatha Pandit, he spent some time there. He met Advaitacharya. He was very happy to meet him. Vasudev Dat, Murari Gupta. They all heard the transcendental narrations of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, and Kaviraj Goswami says, forgot themselves in the happiness of hearing about the Lord. So then, he decided to go back to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he said, I'll give him some gift. So with Sivananda Sen, he came up with an idea. Ah, we will get the Lord nice sandalwood oil, one big pot of sandalwood oil. So sandalwood oil is quite expensive, pure sandalwood oil. So he got this nice oil. And he went back to Jagannath Puri, and he gave the oil to Sudhamadhar Goswami. Because he was a little shy, he said, you can give this to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when Sudhamadhar Goswami went to give the sandalwood oil to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was, what is this? Are you giving this oil to me? You know, sannyasis are not meant to wear, you know, perfumes and cosmetics and sweet deodorants and things like this. They're supposed to be renounced. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, if you give me this oil and I wear it, people will lose faith in me as a sannyasi. You take this oil and you can burn it in the lamps of the Jagannath temple. Give it to Jagannath Swami. So Dhamadhar Goswami was very good friends with Jagannatha Pandit. So one day he went to Jagannatha Pandit's house. He said, you know, Mahaprabhu, he won't use that oil. So Jagannatha Pandit, remember his mood, he went, well, he won't take that oil. I'm going to go say a thing or two to him. Now, who can instruct the Lord? Who's in a position to instruct the Lord? But as the rasas get deeper and more intimate, you know, the mood of familiarity, or rather the mood of awe and reverence, it disappears to the point where the residents of Vrindavan don't even know that Krishna is God. They treat him like the coward boys, just say, you're like any friend like, you're like any boy like us. But we can't stop thinking of you. There's something special about you. You're our best friend. The Aishwarya Bhav disappears in Goloka. So it's also somewhat absent in Dwarka. In the Vaikuntha planets, the Aishwarya Bhav is there. But as you go higher, like you get it to Ayodhya, you get to Dwarka, then it starts to disappear because you're getting closer to Goloka Vrindavan. So Jagannatha Pandit is Satyabhama. So, you know, he's stomped off to the Gambira temple. He opened the door and he said, what is this I hear? You're not going to use the sandalwood oil that I brought. Mahaprabhu. So, Jagannatha Pandit, you know, I'm a sannyasi. I have to set the highest standard. This is where the verse comes in. A little spot on a white sheet. You know, though, it is very much noticed. And the character of a sannyasi, if a sannyasi acts inappropriately, then people have opportunity to criticize him and an excuse for not following his instructions. So he said, I can't use the oil that you have brought. So then Jagannatha Pandit said, who said I brought that oil? I didn't bring that oil. Where is that stupid oil? So Mahaprabhu said, it's right there. So Jagannatha Pandit took that oil and he smashed it on the ground. And he went back to his house and he had a little, I was there recently, he had a little temple, actually, with beautiful deity of Radha Giridhari, which Mahaprabhu had personally given him. He went back there, he slammed the door, he bolted the door, and he laid down on the ground crying. He cried and cried. 3 days, it stated. For 3 days, he cried his eyes out. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he heard about this, so he said, oh, okay. Remember, Krishna and Satyabhama. He went back, he knocked on the door, Jagannanda Pandit. Jagannanda Pandit. Pandit, it's me. Are you there? No, I'm not here. I'm not here. Oh, I know you're here. Please open the door. I have a service I want you to do for me. No, I'm not going to open the door. Yes, you must open the door. I want you to cook for me. Oh, you do? Yes, please. Actually, I'm not going to eat anyone else's cooking. I'm just going to fast until you open the door for me. And you cook for me. Oh, okay. So Jagannath Pandit opened the door. And Mahaprabhu requested him to cook, that he would come back for lunch in the afternoon. So with Raghava Pandit, Jagannath Pandit, he was very expert cook. He prepared so many nice, more than 50 men could eat, Kaviraj Goswami says. More than 50 men could eat. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back after taking his bath and seeing the noonday darshan of Lord Jagannath. He came back and he sat down. And Jagannath Pandit served him more than 10 men could eat. Now usually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know his favorite food was what? Sak. Just some spinach. He likes some spinach, some boiled vegetables, little rice like that. He was a sannyasi. He was not favoring eating very opulent foodstuffs. But this food was so opulent. And Jagannath Pandit kept serving him more and more and more. But why didn't Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say anything? Because he knew if he said something, Jagannath Pandit would get angry again and went off and slammed the door and cried for 3 days. So he bent himself up to here. Finally he said, Jagannath Pandit, please, that's enough. I need me for 10 men. So Jagannath Pandit said, all right, my lord. So Mahaprabhu said, now you take prasadam. You sit down and take prasadam. But after you leave, my lord, I will take some prasadam. So this way they made up. They made up. But later on, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, actually because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was acting as a very strict sannyasi, Yukta Vairagya, he wasn't generally eating very much like he did at Jagannath. Only these special, these situations took place at Jagannath Pandit's house. Generally he wasn't eating very much, so therefore Mahaprabhu was very thin when he was in Puri. He was very, very thin. He'd spend most of his time in Gambhir simply crying in separation from Krishna. He couldn't eat. He had no appetite. So he became very thin, and his bones were sometimes, you know, they were, the skin was showing it, showing the bones. They were so thin. It's just like bones were showing. And when he lay down on the ground, then sometimes he would moan at night because he was so thin. He just wouldn't eat. He lost all interest in eating. He lost all interest in sleeping. It's like the Goswamis, they were so immersed in their pure Krishna consciousness. So sometimes he would moan at night. So Jagannath Pandit heard about this. So he said, how my lord can sleep on the hard ground? I'll make him a mattress. So Jagannath Pandit, he went out, and in India you see this is a tree that produces a type of, like almost like cotton, a type of, just flies through the air sometimes, you see. So he took a lot of that fiber, and he got some cloth, and he dyed it a saffron color, and with his own hands, he sewed a nice mattress and a nice pillow for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He came back again. He said, Mahaprabhu, I'm hearing that you're sleeping at night, and your bones are hitting the ground, and I just can't tolerate. Actually, many of the devotees, they couldn't tolerate Mahaprabhu's taking sannyas, because they knew that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna Varnan Tusha Krishnam Shango Panga Shaparshadam Yagnai Sankirtan Payar Yajantihi Sumedasaha. The same Lord who appeared in a bluish black color like monsoon cloud in Dipura Yuga has now appeared in the Kali Yuga as the Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the golden avatar. So those were the intimate associates. They could never tolerate that the Supreme Enjoyer, he is allowed to be the Supreme Enjoyer. Everyone else is his servant. He has taken this position of renunciation, wearing all these austerities, they couldn't handle it. They couldn't handle it. So Jagannanda Pandit, he couldn't stand. Mahaprabhu, you're sleeping on the ground, take this mattress. So again, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you want them to see me enjoying sleeping on the mattress with nice, a futon, with this nice pillow, then people will criticize me as a sannyasi, and my preaching will be will be ineffective. He refused it. So Jagannath Pandit was very sad. Oh, what can I do? But then Swarup Damodar Goswami, who was the personal secretary of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he also couldn't tolerate it. So what he did is he took some of the cloth of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I think he took a dhoti, and with his own hands he put some cotton in there, he sewed a pillow, and he begged Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, begged him, please, at least sleep on this mattress. So after so much pleading, finally Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, all right, I'll sleep on your mattress. Now, when Jagannatha Pandit heard that Mahaprabhu had accepted the mattress of Swarup Damodar Goswami, he became so jealous. Like the wives, right? Sometimes the wives become jealous. This is all just Leela. Just to increase all these things, just like in Vrindavan, there's politics, there's intrigue, there's diplomacy, there's hide and seek. All those things that just to increase the intensity of the pastime, Krishna's pastimes. So, Jagannath Pandit came, and actually he didn't come. He just stayed home, locked the door again. He told Swarup Damodar Goswami, he said, you just tell Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that I want to get out of here. I want to go to Vrindavan. So Swarup Damodar Goswami, he went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he said, now look what you've done. Now Jagannath Pandit is feeling jealous, so he wants to go to Vrindavan. Does he have your permission? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no. He's my very dear devotee. I love his association. If he were to leave, then who would correct me? Who would, you know, adjust everything? And he just couldn't imagine separation from his devotees for a moment. So this message was relayed to Jagannatha Pandit, and Jagannatha Pandit said, you know, no, I'm going to Vrindavan. And he stormed into Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's room in Gambhira and said, I'm going to Vrindavan. You can't stop me. I have to go. Please give me permission. You must give me permission. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, all right, you can go, but only for 2 weeks. And you have to come back. All these things are arranged. Like in Krishna Leela. There's Mother Purnamasi, and they're trying to keep Radha and Krishna separate. Right? But somehow or other, by the arrangement of some of the gopis and some of the cowherd boys, you know, on the pretext of coming to cook for Krishna, to go out and visit the temple of the sun god, you know, somehow or other, after being kept apart for so long, Radha and Krishna are able to meet. And the meeting is even more sweeter because it was so difficult to meet. In fact, the gopis, they're just always in anxiety trying to arrange these pastimes of Radha and Krishna. There's so much anxiety. They cry, and it's salty tears. And because there's just so much in anxiety, you cry salty tears when you're in anxiety. And that's why it said in Vrindavan, all the water is salty. Right? You know in Vrindavan, you've been in Vrindavan, you take the water, it's always salty. Just because it's the ground is saturated with the tears of the gopis. Anyway, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, all right, you can go, but only for 2 weeks. And when you get to Varanasi, from that point on, you have to have a guide. I have to have a guide? He said, yes, because after Varanasi is Bihar. It appears that Bihar was even a wild state in those days, hooligans and dacoits. And in commenting on that particular, in this particular purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, the reason Mahaprabhu said that Jagannatha Pandit had to have an escort through Bihar was because in those days, the hooligans, they were particularly interested in kidnapping Bengalis. Why? Because Bengalis were easy to kidnap because they're small and skinny. You see, the Punjabis are big. The big mamas, Punjabi mamas. A big boy, 7 feet tall. Or in Rajasthan, you know, some of the people are very big and tall. But Bengali, they're kind of skinned, but very intelligent. Right? Very intelligent. They could capture them, and they'd use them in administrating their local governments. Anyway, that's what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati did. And then when you get to Vrindavan, you can spend 2 weeks there, but you can't go on Govardhan Hill. This is where we got the instruction, actually. He gave it to Jagannatha Pandit. you can't go on top of to see the Gopal deity, because Srinathji was still residing in Vrindavan at that time. He wasn't taken away to Nagpur. Originally he was called the Gopal deity, so he was on top. Madhavendapuri had installed him on top of Govardhan Hill. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you cannot go to see the Gopal deity on top of Govardhan Hill, because it means you have to put your feet on Giriraj, and Giriraj is none different than Krishna. So from that day on, the Vaishnavas, when we go to Vrindavan, we never walk on Govardhan Hill. Although you see some people go to the temple of Gopal on top, we don't do it because of this instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he said that, what are the instructions that he gave them? He said, you can go there. He said, you can go there. He said, but you can only associate with Sanatana Goswami. And you can go and you can visit the 12 forests of Vrindavan, and then you have to come back. You can't associate intimately with the residents of Vrindavan. Why? Why I can't associate intimately with the residents of Vrindavan? He said, because you simply won't understand their bhav. He said, because your internal mood is the mood of Dwarka. He didn't go into detail, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, but the Dwarka Vasis, they'll never be able to understand this lawless love of the gopis and the spontaneous mood of the residents of Vrindavan. No rules, no regulations, just Krishna, 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 Krishna. He said, you Dwarka Vasis, you won't be able to understand this. So you can go to Vrindavan, but don't associate too intimately with the Brajabhasis. You just associate with Sanatana Goswami. He's my intimate, he'll understand. So, he went to Vrindavan, and he associated with Sanatana Goswami. They visited the 12 forests of Vrindavan. He did Govardhan Parikrama, Jagannanda Pandit. He got it all out of his system, his anger for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was living in a cave with Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami, especially during the hot season, they call them gopis. Gopis like a basement that they build. They have a nice house, but underneath the house they have like a very deep cave, because in Vrindavan it gets very hot, sometimes 52, 53, 54. So the people, they go and live in the cave. So apparently he went during the hot season, he was living in the cave with Sanatana Goswami. And Sanatana Goswami, he would go out and do madhukari every day. He would beg for his prasad. But Jagannanda Pandit, he just couldn't do that. He couldn't go out and beg. So he'd go to the nearest temple and eat the mahaprasadam from the deities there. A little bit different standard. So finally he was feeling separation again from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He couldn't bear that separation. So he decided to go back. And he brought the Lord some gifts for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He took some sand from the area of the Rasalila dance. He took a stone from the Govardhan Hill. He took some dry, ripened pilu fruit. And he took a small garland of conch shells. So you may think, what is the value of some conch shells, a stone, a Govardhan Shila, some Gunjamala, and some sand from the Rasalila. You know, these are all Chintamani, Pukadasadamasu, Kopraviksha, Lakshavriteshu, Shudabir, Abhipalayantam. Everything in Vrindavan is fully transcendental and conscious. Even the dust of Vrindavan, if you just roll in the dust of Vrindavan, that dust is a transcendental touchstone. Just rolling in the dust can give you Krishna prema. So anything from Vrindavan, is the value of that item cannot even be priced. It is priceless. So he took these items back to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, embraced Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu, he appreciated that sand from the Rasalila. He used to take a little of that sand as prasad every day. The stone from Govardhan Hill he kept. I think he gave that stone to Swarup Damodar Goswami. The garland of small conch shells he would put to his eyes and cry tears of ecstasy, because those conch shells actually represent Srimati Radharani. And the ripened pilu fruit, Mahaprabhu gave that to the Bengali devotees who were in Jagannath Puri visiting, and he had a good laugh, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Why? Because the Bengalis, they never saw this pilu fruit before. It's a small little berry like that, and the fruit is very sweet, but the seed is very bitter. So just thinking, it was like in Vrindavan, they take that fruit, they eat all around the seed very carefully, and they throw the seed away. But they didn't know that, so the Bengali do it. They pop that seed in their mouth. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was having a good laugh giving it to all the residents of Orissa and Bengal. Anyway, these are some of the pastimes of Jagadananda Pandit, a very dear associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So I think we'll finish there. It's 9:15. We also have, besides kirtan, we have a little kirtan. And then we'll take, I think, Prabhuji, Kaushik Prabhu has prepared some, and his family members have prepared some delicious prasadam for us. Actually, we visited Kaushik very early in the morning, around 10 o'clock in the morning. He said that the family members had already started cooking. So we have hardly taken any prasadam today. We had a delicious apple pie, some delicious baklava, but we have left room for the nice prasadam of Kaushik and family. Shri Jagadanda Pandit ki. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki. Ila Chaladama ki. Gopemandi. Where's our, can you play drum, please? The kartals? Sit here so I can hear your voice. Play the kartals. Kartals? Kartals. You're submissive to daddy. He said a lot of good things about you.
I see you soon. Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Adhokara Sri Vasadi Om.